So how do you capture joy? Today we experienced joy in the birth of a grandson. We experienced joy in the healing process, right? We experienced joy earlier on in the year when we experienced the baptisms in our church. We experienced joy when we dedicated children up here at the front. We experience joy when we see a sunset. We experience joy, at least I do as a grandpa, when I watch my grandchildren play and I just ponder, and it's just exciting to see them play and learn new things and speak new words and so on. And so joy has many different colors. Joy has many different, comes in many different packages. Comes in many different ways, and there are some people that are more, at least they're on the internet more than I can imagine, and so I'll try to, it's a nice picture and I can't get it up there for you today, but Helen Keller describes joy this way: joy is the holy fire that keeps our purpose warm and our intelligence aglow. And if you know who Helen Keller was, she was a person who is handicapped in so many different ways. In terms of her ability to speak, in terms of seeing and hearing. And yet she can come up with a statement like, joy is the holy fire that keeps our purpose warm and our intelligence aglow. Mahatma Gandhi says, joy lies in the fight and the attempt, in the suffering involved, not in the victory itself. And I'm going to challenge Gandhi on that a little bit today. But if you follow Gandhi in history and follow him, he certainly had a purpose that was much deeper than just trying to deliver the Indian people from the British Raj at the time. Robert Murray McKean says, joy is increased by spreading it to others. And you'd say that, yeah. How can you have a celebration of joy unless you can spread it around, right? Mark Twain has said, grief can take care of itself, but to get the full value of a joy, you must have somebody to divide it with. That's an interesting concept, right? To have a full value of the joy, you've got to divide it with somebody. Goldie Hawn says, we have to embrace obstacles to reach the next stage of joy. And then we have this one by Tim Cook. Let your joy be in your journey and not in some distant goal. As a matter of fact, if you have joy as a goal, it's hard to really capture it. It has to have something else underneath sustaining it. Pope Francis says, Christmas is joy, religious joy, inner joy, joy of light and peace. And Mother Teresa has said, joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. You think of the people that you relate to, and if they have a joyful attitude to them and so on, it's a lot easier to connect with them. And they say it's the way of capturing people, capturing their souls. And so today I would like to look at joy in some historical biblical context. Because the Messiah has come in a biblical context. And so we have a number of places I want to look historically at joy. And this first one, it actually doesn't say joy, but you can just feel the joy coming. So you can imagine being in slavery for 400 years as the children of Israel were for that time. And then they reached the other side of the Red Sea. And they were there, and they just, they just had a real time of joy. There's Moses and Miriam's song that says, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. And so they celebrated in incredible joy, joy that that they were now set free, joy that they could look forward to something, some new journey in their journey with God. And so yes, that's a critical place of joy. I'm going to jump ahead a good number of years to Nehemiah. Nehemiah was up in captivity in Syria, and King Artaxerxes was the king at the time. And Nehemiah was good with his emotions, because one day he walks into the king's presence, and he was the cupbearer for the king, so he met the king every day. And it says that he was sad. He was looking down, and he had a sort of a mood kind of that was not usual for him. And so the king asked, "What's the problem?" And he said, "Well, you know what? The walls in Jerusalem are all in a shamble. The people are, you know, just scattered." And through that conversation, Nehemiah was given all the resources to rebuild the wall. And so it's when he goes down and they spend all this time rebuilding the wall, and at the end of that time, they came to a celebration. And Nehemiah actually had to tell the people, said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And that's where we get that famous verse. So that's another time in history where you see the great tragedy, great struggle, and they come out with joy. Isaiah prophesies, and a lot of his prophecies have to do with judgment. You have not followed God properly here. You have not done this right, and so on. But punctuated in Isaiah are times of hope, places of hope. And you have the famous servant songs that he talks about the coming of the Messiah. And this is one of those in Isaiah chapter 61. And we read it this morning in our scripture reading. It says, "To comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor." Then you think of it, Joseph, when he realizes that he does not have to divorce Mary, even though she was pregnant. And an angel of the Lord came to him. And this is what it says in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20. "But after he had considered this, divorcing Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because she, what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" And so you see, Joseph has this movement of ambivalence, of wondering what to do, to a place of joy, right? And then, of course, Mary celebrates with Elizabeth that she is pregnant with Jesus. And so Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and following, we have the Magnificat, what we call the Magnificat. And the beginning of that, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And so Mary comes to a place of joy as well. And then the angels brought good news of great joy to the shepherds. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And so they hurried off, and they found the baby that had been announced by the angels. And so they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And then it says, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her hearts. And the shepherds continued to glorify God. And the Magi also had an experience of joy. They went to, their star followed them, and they got to Jerusalem. And after they had checked with Herod were wondering where to go, they saw that the star once again came out, and they were overjoyed that the star had come. And when they went to visit Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped him, and they gave their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so I'd like to pull a few principles together, probably not as profound as the ones you saw heard about earlier, but I thought, how can I summarize some of these thoughts of joy? So one is that joy responds in worship when God fulfills his promise of hope. Joy is a response of worship when God fulfills his promise of hope. Somewhere, the people in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew people, were looking for a way to get out. They had hope. And so when they got through the Red Sea and they came to the other side, the response was a response of joy. The hope that Nehemiah had when he went up with the king, or talked with the king, was that the walls would be rebuilt. And it was not easy for Nehemiah to rebuild these walls. He had a lot of opposition, even though it was a good thing. And at the end, he said, they opened up the word of God, and they had a great celebration. And he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you think of the hope that Isaiah promises, that someone is going to come, who's going to be a Messiah, who's going to be the Messiah, who's going to be a servant, who's going to be a Messiah, and the joy will be like oil coming over one's head. And then the joy of the people, the shepherds, was a joy of worship. They came to worship Jesus. Imagine worshiping a baby that's crying in front of you. They worshiped him. The Magi came from their joy, and they worshiped Jesus. And so joy is, an important part of joy is responding in worship when God fulfills his promise of hope. And there are many times when we experience this in our life. It doesn't say that all things are always going to end up the way we hoped they would. But there are times when we can celebrate with joy and say, thank you, God. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for taking us through those tough times. Thank you for being with us even in the tough times, because joy will come in the morning. And so joy is a critical part of our journey in worship. Just think, if we didn't experience joy as we come together, what would it be like? It'd be kind of dead. It'd be kind of is there any life here? But when you experience joy, when joy is part of the worship, we're fulfilling God's promise, and we are enjoying this time together. It enriches our soul, and God enjoys, I think, hearing our joy as well. Having said that, there are times when somebody is celebrating joy that some others may not experience it in the same way. For some people, this Christmas may be a tough time because of physical ailments, or maybe a tough time because of a death they've experienced this year. And this is one of the first Christmases when that person isn't around. There may be other reasons, but recognize that joy will come in the morning. It doesn't mean that God isn't with us in our struggle, in our suffering, but there's also a time where we can come and be and worship in joy. So that's one principle that I think comes here. Joy is experienced more deeply when one acknowledges the full range of emotions. You know, sometimes we only like to experience the positive emotions, and we should always want to experience those. But if we just hold those and don't want to look at some of the negative emotions, it's like, you know, we're only half a human being, only looking at life halfway. Because all the experiences that I've talked about where joy has been experienced, they've come through hardship, right? They've come through that place of suffering, that place of like going through a wall. They've come through a place where they were uncertain. And then they come to a place of joy and celebration. And so if we were just only going to limit ourselves just to the joy, we wouldn't be able to experience the whole of life. And by the way, I think when we experience the struggles, we experience the joy even more abundantly. And so I think in the offering here, as we are together, we realize the shepherds, you know, they were just ordinary people. The shepherds were people who, you know, their whole life was spent in looking after these sheep. And yet they were chosen as ones to come and worship. Think of Mary, even Mary and Joseph, just ordinary people. They were chosen to be, Mary was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. And Joseph to be the stepdad to the Messiah. And just ordinary people. So they brought who they were. And God used them in such a beautiful and profound way. And so joy is experienced more deeply when we acknowledge the full range of emotions. While joy can be an experience alone, joy increases and becomes memorable when it's shared. This is so powerful, you know. If you just celebrate by yourself, it's just like, well, nobody else knows about it. But when you share it, other people can enter into the joy. And it becomes, oh, their joy becomes our joy. And it becomes something so profound that we can share, we can celebrate together. And so, you know, when I'm together with the grandchildren, Carol and I talk afterwards, we often share the joy that we're exhausted at times, but we share the joy of being together with these children, right? And so joy that you see coming through these parts of Scripture are places that it's not just something that is so individual, but it is something that spreads. Just think of the shepherds. They couldn't hold in this good news. And they went around. It just bubbled over them. Hey, you know what? We've seen the Messiah over there. Can you believe that? Yeah. No. Yes. Right? And you can hear this conversation. Well, you got to go see yourself, you know. Because they had this joy. It was catching. It caught them. And I think that is so, so important, that when we experience joy, it's hard to keep it to yourself. But when you spread it around, it's like, oh, thank you. Now we understand something more. We understand who you are. We understand how God is blessing your life in this way. And so joy is something that is memorable when it's shared. I think we make a birth memorable in our church when we have a child dedication, right? It becomes memorable. We make faith memorable when some people, they're baptized here, because it becomes memorable. We celebrate with the people who are being baptized. It forms a covenant. It forms a relationship with the people who are celebrating, with the people who are taking a step of either parenting their children or in baptism. We want to celebrate with them. And it becomes a time to share with them in that celebration. When we celebrate with joy, it makes new beginnings special and memorable. And it must be celebrated in the moment. So you can think of, you know, these shepherds. When they went, they didn't celebrate a month later. They celebrated in the moment. When we celebrated our 90th anniversary, we had three times to celebrate it. And say, this is an important moment in the life of our church. And we celebrated it three times. We want to be in that moment. We want to capture the moment. And so it becomes something memorable, becomes something exciting. But we celebrate in the moment. We don't want to celebrate, way down the road. But we want a celebration. Joy is something that comes to us in the moment. And so you can believe how when this baby was born, Jesus was born, the Scripture said that Mary pondered these things in her heart. It's like a deep sense of joy. She celebrated that moment. This is amazing. The God of creation, the God of the universe, has now come to a place that we can understand him and hold him. Mary could hold him in her arms. Wow, what a place of joy. What a place of humility. When you think of the incredible task that she had. And so she celebrated in that moment. And so joy has these different colors to it, or different phases in it. And it comes to us in different way. But joy is a starting of something new. Joy is a starting of something that we say, oh, celebrate that which is new. And so there's so much to joy, and today I've just touched a few parts of it. But I trust that as we go through this time together, that we will find that there are times where we worship in joy, right? There are times that we understand the depth of feelings, of emotion, where we've come and how joy can be part of that. There are times where we want to make something memorable in joy. But as we celebrate Christmas, we recognize that God is doing a new thing in the birth of Jesus. A new covenant is starting. A new covenant where God is with us, Emmanuel. God is not out there somewhere. God is here among us. And this is what we celebrate. And we celebrate that God did not just leave us out there, this world kind of whirling around. He says, I'm here. And I hope that as you experience Christmas, whatever activities you do, that you will find time to just allow this joy of the Messiah, this joy of this new beginning, to be part of your life, even at this time, to experience it in the moment. May God bless us as we enjoy this time together. Amen.